This is Chris McGovern, and you're listening to The Glass Show.
The world is full of reasons to go about your days. The world is full of ways. The world is full of ways. At its center, the excuses of faith. The world is full of love. The world is full of hate. Tragedy, the satire, the focus of this man.
This is The Glass Show. I'm Chris McGovern, of course, and that's Mark Mandeville and Rhian Richards. And that was from the recording they did basically as a one-off. It was Old Constitution, a band that sadly is not going to be playing together again for a while, at least not for now or the foreseeable future. according to Mark Mandeville, who we're going to be talking to in a few minutes, along with his dear partner, Rhian Richards. but anyway, underneath the cost is from their album, Mark Mandeville and Old Constitution, and it's one of the most beautiful things I'd heard in recent years that basically resembles a much more countrified sound in modern folk music. And there's quite a few. There is a lot of them, particularly in Massachusetts. There's a huge folk scene in that state. Mark and Rayanne, though, when they were the accident that led me to the world with Zach Siris, the bass player, they were a trio. And I saw them and I met them back in 2007 when they played at The Space in Hamden, Connecticut. And you know, they had a very sort of weird, definite, you know, indie kind of ethic. They were all dressed in black. And, you know, plus Rayanne played the clarinet on a lot of songs. And, you know, Mark would either play the guitar or the banjo, depending on the song. And Zach Siris played this big stand-up bass. And really, they did something that I thought was absolutely genuinely awesome, you know, for lack of a better word. Awesome is an overused word, you know, and so is fabulous for me, but that's okay. I you know, for me, it's like I keep it simple when we're talking about these things. But they were very unique, and I always loved Mark's voice. I always loved Rayanne's voice too, and I always thought they sounded awesome together. When they sing together, and especially when they're doing the more straight country kind of style, and when they do, you know, the kind of like the duo thing, it definitely reminds me of Graham Parsons and Emmylou Harris. You know, I think so. I mean, that definitely brings that to my mind. And I also think of James Taylor, particularly when I hear Underneath the Cost. It kind of reminds me of the Sweet Baby James sound. You know, it brings that sort of feeling of like this gorgeous, like sunrise coming through, you know, the trees on a cold morning in the Berkshires or something. You know, it's just sort of invokes that feeling, you know, especially because, you know, when I got that album from Mark and Rayanne and they sent it to me when it came out in 2010, you know, we were experiencing some rather unseasonable but seasonable weather, you know, sort of in fall. And like, I remember one time we had a blackout and it was like a lot of like cold temperatures and we were in a house without heat. And, you know, it was kind of a nice thing to listen to. And basically, right now, Mark Mandeville and Rhian Richards, you know, they play as the duo, you know, and they play sometimes with or without people, you know, when they do the walking tour, which is something that they've been doing now for, I believe, 5 years now. And essentially, they've been recording it too, and there's a series of recordings. And of course, I think Mark mentions in our chat that there is going to be a third volume of the Walking Tour music. There's already two of them live at the Nave Gallery is the first one. The second one was Walking Tour Volume 2. And there's actually going to be a couple of tracks from that in this episode, as well as a couple of songs from their current album, Hard Times and Woes, which, you know, of course, you're going to hear that song and you're going to hear another song from that album. And a couple of things from The Accident That Led Me to the World are coming up, too. I feel, you know, we would be remiss if we didn't feature that in here, because another surprise from Mark. If you guys have ever or perhaps never heard The Accident Led Me to the World, you're in for a real treat, because they are going to be doing another Accident That Led Me to the World recording, and hopefully within the year or so, or a year or so, they're going to finally put it out. And you know, bring some either some closure to that group, or maybe perhaps that group will live on, you know, and you know, Mark and Rayanne will always have that as their sort of alter egos on stage, you know. But I mean, no matter what they do, I really respect them, and I really love what they do as musicians, and they're fabulous people to talk to. And of course, we talked to Mark first. We did this via Skype to phone, so they could only talk one at a time. So Mark spoke to me first, and then Rayanne speaks in the second half of the program. Anyway, here is our chat with Mark Mandeville and Rayanne Richards here on The Glass Show. But getting back to you, of course, I've always liked your music very, very much. What you guys do is wonderful. It kind of, you know, basically is wonderful, like acoustic folk music, you know, with some new things to say, I guess, right? Pretty much. And country too figures into it, and the last few records especially. Hard Times and Woes is this new record, and I mean, I love the genuine sound from it. It's just like, you know, it's real country when it sounds like it's from the country, you know.
I suppose. I mean, we definitely live in the country.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm glad that folks like you have stuck with Ray and I and our music.
Mm-hmm.
When you first started listening to us when we were performing as The Accident That Led Me to the World,
mm-hmm.
music has sort of changed gears a little bit. I think it's just been a natural evolution.
Yeah.
You know, it might have lost a little bit of edginess and a little bit of the DIY aesthetic, if you want to put it that
mm-hmm.
way. But we're just doing the type of music that really appeals to us right
mm-hmm.
now. And whether that's maturity that's doing that, or whether that's, you know, just a sign of our interests and inspirations changing. I mean, we're still working on the music for The Accident That Led Me to the World. And we're still, you know, it's still very much something that we, you know, believe in.
Mm-hmm.
In the meantime, you know, the musicians that we're working with and the types of songs that we're writing, the type of material that's being covered in the song, it just seems to lend itself more to that authentic folk or country.
Mm-hmm.
There'll be hard times, there'll be woes along both sides of the road. There'll be times when giving up seems like the ending always told. Be it heaven, be it gold, to quench the thirst inside your soul. May faith stay in the saddle as you ride off in the morning. There's a way, there's a means, and you must take the reins and ride. Though your horse might be a wild one, you hold on tight. Be it tame, be it mild, you must take the reins and ride. Clench your fist onto the bridle, hold on tight. Dust kicks up, clouds your eyes. When the wind blows sideways and the night falls cold, when your heart hangs sinks down low, there'll be hard times. Build woes along both sides of the road. There'll be times when giving up seems like the ending always told. Be it heaven or be it gold, to quench thirst inside your soul. May faith stay in the saddle as you ride off in the morning.
Mark Mandeville and Rhianne Richards, and the song is Hard Times and Woes from the album of the same name.
Well, I mean, I always assumed that this is exactly what you wanted to do, you know, completely, you know, more, I don't want to say more commercial, but more like a sort of a less, you know, because, I mean, the accident that led me to the world, I'll probably preface this for the audience of the podcast in case they hadn't come across that those recordings. It was a different group. It was like, you know, it was kind of like more like an alternate folk sound, you know. It had particularly a darker sound to it, but it was, you know, it seemed like it had a very specific motif, you know, and you sort of tied everything together with like these paintings that were done for the covers.
I think it was just mode, you know. I think of mm-hmm. it as in terms of a mode of creating art, you know, and the medium that we were working in was upright bass, banjo, and clarinet arrangements for classical guitar arrangements. And at that time, you know, that's the way we were expressing ourselves. And right now, I mean, as I'm getting older, I can't speak so much for Anne, but I mean, as far as my writing is, I think I'm going less in the direction of expressing passion without a, you know, a comprehensive strategy on how to do that, and more towards writing songs about certain things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I still want to have the passion behind it, but I don't want to let the passion dictate how the songs are written. That's really, I think, how the accident songs were being written. They were the, you know, I used to tell people I don't pay attention to it when I'm writing a song. You know, it just kind of,
mm-hmm.
if I wasn't paying attention and it came out, then it's right.
Yeah.
But lately, you know, and as far as what you said about it being more commercially accepted, I mean, I don't think we're doing that consciously, but I'm not going to say that I'm disappointed in it, because for years people said that they liked the accident, but, you know, like older folks just didn't get
mm-hmm.
it. And I hate to think we were putting something in the way of people listening to our music. So I'm sort of happy that the type of music and the mode that we're using right now is accessible not only to the younger demographic, but also to the older folks.
Mm-hmm.
So that, you know, to them, we're sort of bridging this weird folk gap, you know, like we are modern day
mm-hmm.
folk music. Trying to write the songs that might be sung 30 years
ago. Well, you know, the thing is, too, I think the reason that the accident that led me to the world was so appealing to me was because, particularly at the time, there was like the Avett Brothers and Mumford and Sons. It was like these groups that were sort of, you know, coming forward with this very interesting blend of bluegrass music and indie music or something, you know. It was like this sort of genre that came out of left field, and it seemed like, you know, you fit into that perfectly at the time. And
I think we were sort of early. I think our problem, and we might have been a little bit more successful, because I mean, we were touring the country like crazy. And I think our general feeling is we weren't making enough of a footprint.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's because we started touring in 2004,
yeah.
And we stopped around 2010. And I think the Avett Brothers and Mumford and Sons, and I mean, I remember very specifically during the making of the first Accident album, seeing an article of Kant Olbers in the picture of him holding a banjo and thinking, oh, now every schmuck is going to be...
Yeah.
I think, and that really makes me upset because I don't want to fall into a category, but it seemed like at the time, like, okay, we're going to create a band that has banjo and clarinet and classical arrangements and upright bass, mostly arco, both.
I always thought that
was... And we're going to do this, and it's... Yeah, and we're going to think that this is, you know, feels innovative, it feels new, and then that, lo and behold, every folk singer or wannabe folk singer or the Conor Oberst of the world or the Avett brothers, they all start wailing away on banjos. You know, so they became popular, I think, after the Accident stopped touring heavily. So maybe if we were like 5 years later, maybe we would have been able to jump on board at certain things, but, you know, there was other bands that started picking up clarinet. Like, for instance, the Low Anthem, you know, they were big fans of the Accident to Limit of the World, and you know, so much so, and loved what Ren was doing, that they picked up Jossie Adams for clarinet in their group. And, you know, I think, so I don't know, I tend to feel that the Accident was a special thing and still is, and we still work, you know, off and on with Zach, and we have a third album that we're trying to finish. But I mean, in regards to what we're doing now, I mean, between the walking tour and releasing our new albums and working on a bunch of different artistic projects, it's just, we're trying to do everything well and not just, you know, for something, not just for the sake of making it. We still want it to be special, you know.
That's The Accident That Led Me to the World, performing The Accident That Led Me to the World, the song. That's of course, Mark and Rianne, and Zach Cirrus is on bass with them on that recording, and that's from their first album.
Well, that's good that you have, you know, you still have that in the back of your mind, you know, to sort of bring back The Accident That Led Me to the World, you know, because this way... You know, there's it's kind of almost become a regular thing, you know, for artists to do something and then have like a side project. And it's, and like, rather than it being just a side project, it is very much, you know, like what, you know, they look at as like an alternate, you know, stage, I guess, you know, for lack of a better word. It's just something that, you know, that they've been meaning to do and haven't been able to for whatever reason, you know. But I mean, you know, obviously, like, the Rayanne, well, the Mark Vandeville, Rayanne Richards thing is like, you know, is that like, I mean, would you say basically it's like the solo music, but it's really, it's,
I mean,
like
this,
the solo
music
together? you know.
Well, yeah, I mean, Ryan and I have been writing together for a long time, and I think, I mean, don't get me wrong, we get new fans that come up to us, and the first question that they always have is, what's your band name? And they say, well, my name is Mark Manville, and this is Ryan Richards. And what they didn't understand is, like, we're coming from being part of a group that had a ridiculous band name, that every time somebody asked us what our band name was, you said, the accident that led me to the world, and they go, you got to be kidding. Like, that's too long and crazy. And again, like, the DIY demographic totally understood it, but it was totally lost on the folk festival people.
Mm-hmm.
And the more, I don't even want to say, if, I guess I don't want to say established, but, you know, just the folk normals, you know, like the aging crowd,
mm-hmm.
they didn't want anything to do with Jackson to Led Me to the World. It sounds like a death metal band. And they didn't understand it, really. So now when people ask us if we have a band name, I'm not going to come up with some convoluted moniker just so that we are easily storefront.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm going to be writing songs until I'm gray, and I think Rayanne probably feels the same
mm-hmm.
way. And I think to have a band name just as a storefront seems, I mean, it is absurd. I don't care if that's the way
it's done.
I don't care. You know, that's the way people are doing it today. I don't need
no.
that. If people can't understand and remember my name and remember Rayanne's
mm-hmm.
name, even as simple as just Mark and Rayanne, then maybe our music's not for them.
Have you ever thought about calling it MM and RR? Because I noticed
absolutely not.
Your initials are MM and hers are RR. You know, I just thought it'd be kind of a cute thing. But no, I wouldn't. I would never
say
we've
heard
you
everything,
do that.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
We've heard everything from that to we were thinking about for a very, very short time, maybe a split second, calling it Mr. Mister, because that sort of took those letters and put it in a way. But you know what? Screw that. And somebody else, a friend of ours from North Carolina, said, you know, what, have you ever thought of calling it the Mandevilles? And I thought, you know, for one, Rand and I are not yet married. And for two, that sounds too much like my parents. Like, I don't want, that's not, I can't. Can't deal with that.
No. Well, I mean, you know, you have to go with what really, you know, I mean, you know how many people, or at least a few people, have tried to suggest to me that The Glass Show is a bad name for, you know, my podcast. And, you know, I've tried to explain, no, you don't understand. The Glass Show, the way that I phrase it is like it's the show, which is the like a Japanese instrument, but, you know, it's also short for the show, you know, because it's a show. But, you know, basically, like, the person that I was talking to, like, there was the thinking, well, you know, you want to reach more people, you should call it the Glass Sessions. And I'm thinking, no, it's, you don't understand. I'm playing to the people that get what this is. I'm not trying to reach everybody, because you'll never reach everybody anyway. You know, it's just, it's an impossible dream.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you have to go with what you think really works best for the entire project and for the entire, for the way that, you know, you want to present it. And, you know, I completely understand
that. The bottom line is it might not work, right?
Mm-hmm.
It might not work at all, but you still got to go with
mm-hmm.
it, because that's what you think. If that's the art of it, you know, like I had a dear friend that recently passed away that he loved this poster picture that we took for a poster for a tour that we were doing, where it was Rand and I standing on railroad tracks, but it was only us from like our shoulders down
mm-hmm.
and our headboard on there. And I thought, and a lot of other people were like, oh man, no, you don't understand. It's a poster. You got to show them your faces. They got to associate with your face.
Mm-hmm.
And my friend Ed, he says, I think that picture is perfect because you know what? They know who you
mm-hmm.
are. They don't need to see your faces. They know who you are. And I thought, you know, that's how I was thinking about it, too. But a lot of people, especially today, where, you know, marketing yourself is such a big in the consciousness
mm-hmm.
thing, and everybody's doing
yeah.
it, everybody's marketing, so everybody thinks they know how to do it the best way. But what they're doing is they're omitting the art. So if you want to call your show anything that you want, I mean, that's your prerogative.
Yeah.
And the thing is, it'll stand the test of time, not if it's a good name, but if you continue doing
mm-hmm.
it.
Oh, thanks. And yeah, I'm proud of it too. So, and of course, you know, when I have you guys on, it's always wonderful. You know, the people that I admire, and you know, I really, you know, think that what you do is fabulous. You know, whether it's just you or it's you and Rayanne or it's, you know, The Accident Led Me to the World or, you know, I look forward to what you're going to probably do next, you know, in terms of like the music as a duo, because the last couple of records, this new one, Hard Times and Woes, and, you know, the Old Constitution. Is Old Constitution a group, basically? Is that going to be a thing further down the road also, or was that just kind of a...
I think the way I think about it is if we include a drummer and make a band. I mean, that's what we did. We had like a 7-piece band for that group.
Yeah.
It was all of my songs. There wasn't any songs Rayanne had written for that project. So it was just, you know, I think the bottom line is when there's a number of songs that need to be put on something, they get put on something. And what it gets called is what makes the most sense to us at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And at the time, it made sense for me to have a band. And the band that we had, where Rayanne played, you know, bass and clarinet like she does still now, what we were calling Old Constitution for the reason of it being like the old hat, like the old scenario. You know, a songwriter has some songs, he puts together a band, and what was the band called? I don't have any plans about doing another Constitution record. There's a live recording of us performing in Flint during that tour from Michigan that, you know, I think every once in a while of putting out and making a public thing, because it was just the drummer, the guitar player Rand and myself that went on tour for that album, and you know the recording came out really good. But I think the next thing that we're working on is definitely a follow up to Hard Times and Woes, and we're still planning on working with Gearhart, our steel player, and Doug Williamson, because it's just the easiest thing for us to do. I mean, we have other musicians in mind that are willing to work with us and things. You know, we'll see. We've already started working on the new material, and some of it is really going, I think that it's going in a direction more like the Accent song. But then again, it still contains a lot of that, you know, whatever you call more commercial, but with the pedal steel and the piano.
I prefer to call it classic country rather than, you know, saying that it would be like a commercial thing. Because, you know, the thing is, I mean, obviously, the best things about country, I mean, for me, would be like the pedal steel would be like the number one, you know, sort of like aspect. And, I don't necessarily, I never really thought of it as commercial. To me, commercial country is stuff that you hear played for like the you know, like the football telecasts, you know. That's not really...
No, you're absolutely right. So we're probably using commercial incorrectly. I think what we just mean is like accessible.
More accessible,
like, way Hard Times and Woes came out is definitely the best, I think, in regards to fidelity, the best recording that we've made yet. It working together with Jeff Buckbinder, who has a studio in his home, and he worked with us for a little over a year making that record with us. And, you know, it was the difference between all of our previous records being, you know, recorded in-house with Nobody's Favorite Records, or having me do it, or Rayanne do it. You know, we recorded our own records up until Hard Times and Woes, and then we let somebody else sit behind the board. You know, I still produced it, but it was a lot more freeing to be able to just worry about the songs rather than worrying about my placement in setting up chords and setting levels. And that was already done for me. So we have all the plans in the world of working with Jeff again for the next album. And the only difference is we'd like to try to record the entire thing live if possible, or as live as possible. Because Hard Times and Woes was a studio track, except for a couple of songs.
You know what you probably should do? I don't know if you're familiar with the Running on Empty album by Jackson Browne. There was a song that they recorded while they were like traveling in like the back of a van or something. It sounded really cool. I was like, doesn't anybody ever do that anymore?
Well, I mean, our walking tour, we're putting out volume 3 of the walking tour compilations. And it'll be out on the 17th. It's the first day of this year's walking tour.
Oh, fabulous.
And those albums, yeah, those albums sort of have like a that kind of aesthetic because we really, I mean, I can't carry recording equipment with me when we were doing the walking tour, so we just basically asked somebody to come and set up some microphones at a couple of concerts and see what comes out, but they end up being really on the fly and very natural.
You'd probably need like 20 guys to come with you for the walking tour if you're going to carry recording
equipment,
you know?
Yeah, I don't think so, but like I think 2012, we just set up the deck we used, the same deck we used to record the Constitution album and all of the Accident records. We just put that deck up and set up some microphones, and that's the concert that we're putting out this year, is from Douglas Mass. And, you know, that's just, when I hear those recordings, that's what they sound kind of like field recordings in a way. I mean, they don't have the grainy, gritty, edgy quality that the old field recordings did because of, you know, just the technology is different. There, no matter how you spin it, the new stuff sounds cleaner.
Yeah,
you know, but you can still hear, you know, cars going by outside the church when we're stomping on the stage. It's just a real analogish type thud that you hear when we're dancing around on the stage.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it adds to the quality. It definitely adds to the quality of the recording and the energy of the recording to be doing things live. It's something that you just don't achieve in a studio.
Mm-hmm.
You know, between that, our Hard Times Blows record and then the new Accident stuff that we've been sort of slowly hammering out, I think, I mean, we just have our hands in a lot of different things, so...
This is a live recording, by the way, that we're going to use for future walking tours, so all of your applause and enthusiasm is going to bleed through.
You guys are all going to be part of it, whether you like it or not.
Sleep into sleep and dream.
And of course, Simply Uncompromised is that tune from the second volume of The Walking Tour on CD. And that's available on massachusettswalkingtour.bandcamp.com. Great recording, of course. And that we'll also feature another track from that a little bit later. Basically, now Ray Ann Richards is coming up, and when I talked to her, you know, something happened a couple of years ago that was really sad. Her mother was in a motorcycle accident, I believe, and she was incapacitated for quite some time. And Ray Ann has been basically doing her best to care for her, and she did raise money through a website to fund the care for her mother, which I thought was wonderful. At the time, I was broke, so I couldn't really, you know, contribute any money to it, and I felt terrible. But I promoted it, and I talked about it, and of course, you know, there, in another interview that we did on The Glass, we talked about it there, too. And I asked her about her mother during this chat as well, so... you know, basically that's the context for that mention. And of course, Ray Ann is wonderful. We get into the clarinet, and we did get into basically another person that I'd sort of met at the same time that I met her. I met another person, another musician named Jossie Adams from a group called The Low Anthem. Well, of course, she's not in The Low Anthem anymore. She has another group, but... that particular evening, they were also at the space in Hamden. And we kind of brought them up only because of that. I think there was this sort of the context for the Low Anthem is that they apparently did not add a clarinet player until after they'd seen the accident that led me to the world. So it's very easy to sort of at least assume that that decision was made based on having seen them. you know, even if they would probably say, no, really, we were thinking about it anyway. So who knows? But in any event, you know, I mean, it's like it can't really be proven, but, you know, that is a, that can make a really good case for, hey, you know, well, you got the idea from us, you know. It doesn't really matter, though, really, in the long run. I think they're both wonderful bands. So anyway, here's my conversation with Ray Ann.
Hey, Chris.
Hey, Ray, how are you?
Good, how are you?
I'm pretty good. Nice to hear from you.
Yeah, you too, man. It's nice to hear your voice.
Oh, thanks. So, so basically, loved hearing you on, and I loved the record and everything. And, you know, as of course you probably already heard me talking to Mark about it, but, what was the reason for re-recording Best Advice? Did you just decide that it needed to sort of have cause I noticed the arrangement is slightly different from the one on the solo album.
For Best Advice?
Yeah.
A big reason for doing another recording of that song was, you know, since the initial recording, we started performing with Doug and Pete, and I just felt that their contributions to the arrangement really changed the sound of
mm-hmm.
it, and it almost sounds like a different song. And I just, you know, in particular, I think the pedal steel part is really, really beautiful
mm-hmm.
on that song, and. When we did that session, that was that song, One More Mile, and one other song that I can't think of the name of right now. We did a session in a church, which is where we like to record all the piano parts because they have a really nice 1930s Steinway that they have things there. We did some recording there also for the Constitution. But anyway, for those songs, we did pretty much like a live take in this church. And we just went into it, you know, like, all right, we have three or four songs. We're going to try them, see how it sounds, you know, and like that song in particular, it was one of those moments where everything really clicked, you know, and the sound of the room is really great. We played well, and I really like it. I think it's a good version of
mm-hmm.
that. You know, and with this being a dual release, and me not having a lot of new material to contribute, you know, and where these older songs have kind of evolved so much, we wanted to try to capture that, you know, because I don't know, I hope that Doug and Pete will continue to play with us for years, but I don't know, you know, if someday they decide to hang it up and they don't want to go around with us anymore. It's nice to kind of have that stuff even for posterity.
I can't imagine anybody wanting to abandon you guys at all, but, you know.
Stuff happens. Both people's lives become complicated, and, you know, I don't see anything like that happening in the future, but it's nice to have these recordings so that we can always have them and kind of look back and say, oh, yeah, you know, that was a really nice time for that song. That was a good arrangement of it.
Say she's lost her mind and you need a place to hide your head. Have a glass of wine and forget about those things you said. Steal away some time, steal away and find some space.
I'm kind of glad they took another crack at it myself, actually. It's really, really good. That's, of course, Best Advice, sung by Rayanne Richards. And, of course, that's Rayanne Richards with Mark Mandeville. And it's from the album Hard Times and Woes.
And you're still going to be playing the clarinet, by the way, on
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I still play on the new album. We have Last Tree Standing, which is a really good clarinet part. And then we're actually working on we're already working on our next, you know, material for whatever our next CD will be. And I have some clarinet arrangements on that as well. And we still play a lot of the older stuff too, because people really love the sound of that instrument in the folk music setting.
Yeah.
They're always surprised. but pleasantly surprised.
Yeah, I know. I mean, remember that when I told you, you know, I thought that like it sounded to me like you were trying to like make a reference to, you know, the fact that it sort of makes, you know, it sort of makes up for the fact that like, you know, what you're doing like is like a blues kind of sound or something because of the use of the clarinet on Rhapsody in Blue. And, yep. You know, the Gershwin piece. And I was like, is that why you're doing that? Is it a reference to that or something? I don't even remember what I asked you. It was something along those lines. You said to me, just like the way it sounds.
Yeah, I mean, I've played clarinet since I was 8 and all the way up through school. And I just really like it. You know, I think it sounds really beautiful. I've received comments from audience members in the past saying that they think it sounds like a human voice, mm-hmm. you know, because of the brushiness of it. So it's kind of nice because I can harmonize with what Mark is saying mm-hmm. and singing, not with my voice, you know, and kind of add another layer of depth to sound that we
yeah.
have. And the guys that we play with are just so capable and so talented. It's such a pleasure to be able to arrange with them and really, you know, kind of work out all the little nitty gritties. Now we have sometimes, we have a song that we hardly play, but I don't know, hopefully maybe we can record it on the next album, but it's a blues, like kind of a, almost ragtime singing song called Mount Rushmore Blues. And that song, I really go for like a Louisiana sound with what I'm doing. And I really play out a lot more than I usually do. Mm-hmm. So that, you know, I don't know. It allows us to kind of have something different in the mix, you know, tonally, but also just just to have something different. You know, you don't see that instrument commonly used in this genre of music, mm-hmm. and also as sort of like a performer. You know, it's rare to see like a person playing clarinet. Usually it's in an orchestra setting, mm-hmm. in a quintet or quartet or something like that.
Well, I gotta tell you though, if like people hear what you're doing enough times, you know, for me it was like, oh, I completely understand now what that is. I know why she's doing that and I know why it's there. It just feels after a while like, you know, that's precisely what, you know, where it should be. And it, you know, it doesn't sound like it's out of place ever when I hear it.
Cool.
You know.
Well, thank you. I'm glad that comes across.
You know, I had no idea that the Low Anthem brought in clarinet because of what you're doing. Very interesting.
I don't know. I don't know necessarily that we influenced them. Mm-hmm. That
John
much,
C. Adams
but
is a wonderful
is
player, though. She is, as well
yeah.
as you are.
Yeah, have you heard her new project, Arc Isis?
I need to. I didn't know she was doing something apart from the group. That's interesting.
No, she's departed from Low Anthem.
Oh.
And now she's got another project called Arc Isis.
Okay.
ARCISIS. They're everywhere. Going to be at Bonnaroo. Mm-hmm. It's really interesting music. She's doing a little bit of clarinet playing, mm-hmm. but I think she's mostly like writing, and sometimes she carries, you know, the guitar part or some heavier part in the arrangement of whatever.
Oh, I loved her guitar playing too, actually.
It's interesting. You should definitely check it out. But you're totally right. She's a classically trained player. You know, she's a composer. That's what she went to school for, was composition. So, you know, her and I are on totally different levels as far as I'm concerned, mm-hmm. with, you know, our abilities. But I really respect her stuff.
Yeah.
I think it's good.
Yeah, I'll have to.
It's just interesting that they happen to see us. And then the next time that we ran into them, maybe within a month or two, and this is at the very early stages of their career, mm-hmm. They all of a sudden had a clarinet player. Well, it's very interesting.
Well, you know.
You know, but obviously, whatever we were doing was, you know, clicking with people. If they even noticed and said, oh, maybe we should find someone to play clarinet, that's mm-hmm. nice.
Waiting for sun to brown my bones, waiting for the sky to open up, God to come down, prove us wrong. Words they stood as they were read through reacting to what was said. Nails they fell down from his hands in a hole of doubt is where we stand. In a hole of doubt is where we stand.
An example of Rayanne's clarinet virtuosity, of course, on the song Hole of Doubt, which, of course, they recorded as The Accident That Led Me to the World on the second CD that they recorded called The Island Gospel.
How is your mom doing, by the way?
Mom is doing excellent. She is driving a car.
Mm-hmm. Oh, great.
And pretty much living independently. She's, you know, she takes care of her bill paying and her groceries. Mm-hmm. And so I, you know, once in a while she asks me for help with that kind of stuff, but she's pretty much, you know, on her mm-hmm. own and already talking about how she wants to get back to work because she's very frustrated having all this time on her
yeah.
hands and kind of being stuck in the house. You know, so that's great.
Mm-hmm.
That's good news.
Oh, definitely.
She's got a good attitude,
mm-hmm.
you know, and as long as she keeps that attitude, I don't see anything getting in her
mm-hmm.
way, you know, and I'm just trying to stay on track and stay positive. Thank you very much for asking about that.
That's okay. I knew I was going to ask you about your mother.
Yeah, you know, it's just, I'm so grateful, you
mm-hmm.
know, that she's still part of my life and able to, you know, come back from such a crazy, like she was really, really close to not being here,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it was a very scary time, but I'm glad that she persevered and was able to come through.
I know. Thank God. I'm so glad. I'm glad and it's nice that she's, you know, able to be independent, you know, most of the time and able to, you know, function again and everything. So it's great. It's wonderful news. It's a blessing.
Yeah.
You know, I'd love to meet her someday, so, you know, let's...
Well, if you ever come out to Massachusetts...
Yeah, I would, well,
I don't know that she would travel with us anywhere, because she's still got a...
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, she's kind of a homebody sometimes. Like, it's the thought of going somewhere far away, I think, really overwhelms
mm-hmm.
her. It's really hard for her to even, like, fathom. But if you're up here, definitely I'll try to make that happen.
Okay. Absolutely. We'll see what happens, because, I mean, as far as me traveling, I was going to come out to New York, but it's too much to, you know, to get people to sign on to, you know, helping me out with, you know, lodging and stuff, and it's, you know, and it's like right now my budget doesn't allow it, but it's probably that, yeah, that will hopefully change at some point, because, you know, I'm working now, so there's money coming back in, and you know, I'm you know, definitely on a much better track than I was the last time you saw me, because the last time you guys saw me, I was unemployed. So, you know, moving out here, it's been a blessing, you know, because they actually do have work out here. My family, you know, at least my sister, my brother-in-law, and my niece are out here, so.
Hang out with once, yeah, in a while too. That's
it's
nice.
Great. And of course I did tell Mark that it'd be fabulous if you guys could come to Sedona at some point too.
Yeah, I mean, it is on our radar. We also have some friends in Yuma, Arizona, mm-hmm, now for Yumi. You know, and they're constantly on us, like, when are you coming here?
Yeah.
I really want to. It's a big time commitment, you know. In the last few, mm-hmm, years, we've only really been able to tour for like a couple of weeks at a time.
I definitely think.
So, I mean,
yeah, sorry.
But like it's to get all the way out there is like a pretty big time and also a financial commitment, mm-hmm, you know. So we basically need like somebody to hire us to play at a wedding and give us a nice deposit so that we can afford to go all the way out,
yeah,
there.
Yeah. Or, you know, there's always, you know, Kickstarter really or something, you know. There's always that kind,
yeah,
of thing.
Yeah, I mean, we really want to go to Europe too, and you have invitations, mm-hmm, like to go to Spain, and this guy wants us to come there, and he'll house us and cart us around and book us a tour, mm-hmm, you know, let us stay with him and his family, and it just sounds so amazing. And it's like, but then I look at that $900 one-way plane ticket, and it's like, oh my god, where are we going to get $4,000?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know.
Like
it,
really,
it becomes a fortune that, when you realize that that's just one way, you know.
Yeah. No, and to get to Arizona, it's like, to do what we do, we really have to drive. Like, I don't fly out there and then have to either borrow, mm-hmm, or rent instruments. Like, it's a nightmare. We've done that in the past. We flew to, like, Austin, Texas, mm-hmm, and I want to be able to, like, go out there on our own steam.
Yeah.
I would love to move to California, too. We've never played the West Coast at all.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it is on our radar. It's just getting the means to get out there.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know?
No.
But, you know, definitely you'll be the first to hear if that's going to be our plan.
Oh, good.
If we head out that way, we'll come to Sedona. We'll visit you. And,
fabulous.
You're on there. You're in their mind.
It's a date for sure. You know, just keep me posted. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, thank you so much. We had a little bit of a calamity in the first few days of doing this. Matthew here plays a very unique instrument, not unique to certain parts of the country, but certainly unique to Massachusetts. And on maybe the fifth day, he was jumping over a fence and his washboard broke into a million pieces.
Yep. It was very sad.
No, but this story has a happy ending. See, I walked into the show that night and I had my larger washboard all bungee corded together, and we start playing and I start telling the story just like I'm telling it to you now. Slightly altered, you know, because some of the stuff hadn't happened. But anyway, this woman's like, oh, I gotta go. I gotta go home. I gotta go home and get that kid a washboard. So she gets in her car and she drives home, and she's a soap maker, so she collects things like washboards or like this old crank, like drying things, or a big tub. You know, she just collects things about washing because she makes soap. So she goes home and grabs me a washboard, and at the end of the show, she's like, I gotta give you something. I gotta show you something. Come here. And everybody wants to talk to you after a show. So it was a little bit difficult for me to get over there. So I was like, okay, you know, it's probably nothing. I'll get over there in a minute. And then I get over there, and she's like, oh, this is for you. And I've gotten to take this with me for the rest of the trip. It's much smaller, much more travel size. This was originally meant for travel, and I left her my broken one. I don't know why she wanted it, really, but she said she might try to fix it and put it on her wall where this was. So she's a very sweet, sweet woman. I like to call her my washboard angel.
Making me crazy.
It's Mark Mandeville, Ray Ann Richards, and a guy named Matt Fox, who was a local musician that was playing with Mark and Ray Ann on the walking tour in 2011, talking about his washboard and how it fell apart and everything. And they did Wrong Side of That Line, and that's on the second volume of the Walking Tour recordings, Mass Walk. I think it's called Walking Tour Volume 2. MassWalkingTour.com, or rather MassachusettsWalkingTour.bandcamp.com is where you find that recording. Live from the Nave Gallery is also on there as well. And Mark Mandeville, RayAnnRichards.bandcamp.com is also where you find the latest recording known as Hard Times and Woes. Wonderful album, too. Essentially, Nobody's Favorite Records is the website that is the label that has also not just the current and recent recordings by Mark and Ray Ann, but also The Accident That Led Me to the World. And markmandeville.com is where you find the official page of Mark and Ray Ann. And the walking tour is still going on, of course, and it goes on until July 3rd. And go to masswalkingtour.org also for information about that tour. If you're in the New England area, pretty much, that's when you want to check it out. I'm hoping, and here's hoping, that basically Mark and Ray Ann will earn enough money at some point to come to more places in the world and in the country particularly. And I really think that, you know, Arizona could use a visit from them. Basically, you know, check them out. I think they're great. I really do think when I hear them, they remind me of Graham and Emmy Lou, pretty much. You know, they're very close to that feeling, I think, anyway. And of course, you know, the sound of James Taylor, and the sound of just really beautiful, pure folk music, you know, and country music as well. Anyway, thanks so much to Mark and Ray Ann for doing that interview, and good travels to them both. Anyway, this has been The Clash Show. I'm Chris McGovern, and we're going to close out with a special treat, a track that is not available anywhere, at least as far as I know, although I think Mark and Ryan made it available at some point on their website. This is the demo version of a song called Small Way, which is originally featured on their first album as the Accident That Led Me to the World. The first of those Accident albums. This is a demo recording, and we're going to use this to close out the show. So anyway, thanks so much for listening. Oh, The Glass Show can be found on both Podomatic and iTunes. ChrisMcGovernMusic.podomatic.com is the address for The Glass Show on Podomatic. On iTunes, if you don't have it already, download it and go to the iTunes store. Type in The Glass Show, show spelled S-H-O, under podcasts. And when you see my picture, click on that and you will definitely have the page for The Glass Show. And if you'd like to, hit subscribe and you will get the new episodes as they appear. And of course, the page for the blog is theglassblogismine.com.